Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's Bearing Precious Seed podcast. And I tell you, we're in such an exciting topic that it's a topic that speaks to everyone. And of course, it's victory over fear. Everybody on this planet faces a fear of some kind. I mean, you can be in the midst of a group of people, and one person beside you on the right could have a fear of spiders, and the person to the left loves spiders, and another person a fear of heights, and then person on the other side of you has a fear of depths. And so fear is such an interesting thing, but we're going to be talking about victory over fear. And listen, God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind in Christ. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of sonship. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith. So we have faith. We have every equipment that we need because God wants us to trample fear. That's why we're doing these podcasts, is because God wants us to literally step on, kick, annihilate fear. And when we get into this, I'm going to be honest with you. Some fears are quickly resolved. Some of them have deeper roots, and they just take a little more time. Time growing in the Word, time growing in love, where perfect love drives out the spirit of fear. But one thing we're going to learn as we look at the Word of God, there is not one fear that has the power to stop you. You know, when I was little, and I'd cry at night, Mom, because I knew there was a monster under my bed. And what would my mom do? Your mom, probably the same way. She'd come in, and she'd turn the light on. As soon as the light comes on, you know, oh, the monster's gone. And then, of course, she would come and sit down and give you a hug. And, you know, that's what God does for us. He's not looking down on you if you have a fear. Everything about Jesus is turn the lights on and to bring comfort of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why the Bible says the entrance of your word, the word of God, brings light. And that his light is a lamp unto our feet. And so what I want to say is, in life, there are periods where it just seems like we're surrounded by darkness. And the psalmist, he understood all of this. He went through it all. That's why we love him, is because there's a psalm for everybody in the Bible. And David went through it and had a word, an answer from the Spirit of God to bring us out of it. And so as we get into this, I want you just to open your heart, get a Bible and your pen and your paper, and begin to look at what the Word of God says and allow it to begin to fortify you. Because God wants you to put your foot down. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. And many times, that ordering of the Lord has you going in direct contradiction, conflict with fear. Because there's something there that he wants you to put your foot on. And the enemy is always afraid of your foot, believe me. And that's why he says, no, don't put your foot down here. I'll bite you. And, of course, the Bible says, no, I gave you authority to put your foot down. So let's get into the Word of God and allow God's Word to begin to bring light so that we can see. Now, if you'll turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 28, the Bible says in verse 1, Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, when we get into this, there's a couple words here we need to pay attention to. Righteous, bold. Now, let's take the word bold first. The word bold is not faith. In fact, there's a difference between the two. In the New Testament, we're never taught to ask the Lord for faith. In fact, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, well, let me teach you about this. And he says, I'm going to teach you how to increase the faith you have. And it's like you and I saying, Lord, increase my biceps. And the Lord says, well, I can't do that. But there's a barbell over in the corner. Why don't you start doing some curls and let me teach you how we can increase your muscle mass, your biceps. Well, it's the same with faith. God gives us his word and we have to start working out with it. But when it comes to boldness, the New Testament has example after example where we are to pray and to ask the Lord for boldness. And that's a good prayer. We need to ask the Lord for boldness. In this particular scripture, it says the righteous. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. Righteousness is the key to walking with God. When you have a loss of the sense of righteousness, you don't have confidence towards God. And because you don't have confidence, your faith can't work. And because of that, then in that realm of condemning, you're not trusting his love for you either. It's perfect love that drives out fear. It's righteousness that gives way to the boldness of God. And many times we need that boldness when we're dealing with fear. Boldness is kind of like the foot that kicks the door down so that faith can go in and operate and bring forth fruit. We need boldness. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, it's important when we approach righteousness, and I think we're going to have to do another podcast that really focuses on righteousness. That's not the purpose of today, but we're going to touch into it. When Adam and Eve sinned, fear came in. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. The first time you see fear in the Bible, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. When they sinned, Satan began to talk. When he began to talk, he began to say things like, you're naked, meaning you're separated from God, you're vulnerable, you're naked. In fact, when the Lord came and he found them, they said, God, we're naked. And the Lord said, who told you that? I've never used the word naked before. Who's telling you this word, you know? And it was the serpent. It was Satan, the new god of this world. He's a spirit of fear. So here we have a planet now that's subjugated to condemnation, to sin, and to a lack of confidence towards God. And so God now has to begin to work with man to get him back into a place of relationship and fellowship. In the story of Adam and Eve, God comes into the garden and he does something that was unthinkable to them. He takes the cow, their cow that they probably drank milk from every day. And, you know, Adam loved this cow. And he loved coming over there and getting the milk out and drinking the milk and possibly even cooking with the milk, you know. And it was wonderful. Milk is really a wonderful thing. Well, God takes this cow and God kills the cow in front of Adam and Eve. They have never seen death before. They had never seen blood before. This cow is now dead. And then the Lord takes the hide off of that cow. They see the blood, and he makes clothes to cover Adam and Eve. They now are realizing the blood shed by that cow now has given us the clothing that he had so that we're not naked anymore. Now you understand Christ. Him that knew no sin was made sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He literally shed his blood, and all of the righteousness of God that was on him now has been placed on you and me. In righteousness, we're established. Oppression's far. We have nothing to fear. Terror is removed. Let me tell you, the force of righteousness isn't just a nice scripture that we repeat at Sunday school. There is an operation of righteousness that does not turn you over to fear. God is not a God who turns you over to bondage. You and I have been delivered out of darkness, and we've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of Jesus. And in that kingdom, we have received righteousness. And it comes directly from Jesus. Don't give it away. Don't offer it to someone. You keep it on and you hold tight to it, because there's an operation of the righteousness of God that's always working. You are not going to be given over to your fear. Just start laughing at your fear right now, because it's not going to happen. Now, as we get into this, let's look at Gideon in the book of Judges. Let's go to chapter 6. And we all love the story of Gideon. I mean, it's an interesting one. So let's begin with verse 1 and begin to look at what's happening here. Verse 1, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. The hand of Midian prevailed over Israel. Because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made dens, which are in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Now that's important. Fear has a stronghold to it. So it was when Israel had sown their seed, the Midianites came and the Amalekites and the children of the east, and they came up against them. They encamped against them, destroyed the increase of the earth till they came to Gaza. They left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They came up with their cattle, their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. They entered the land to destroy it. Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, what's happening here is Israel starts moving into sin. Things are going bad, but they're not ready to give up their sin yet. So they start to absorb the bad and think, you know, I want my sin so much that I guess I can tolerate the other areas of loss. But what happens is there comes a point where you can't do that anymore, because what you thought was small loss now is growing and it's consuming you. And so you realize that sin is not something to play with. It consumes you. They begin to cry out to God. And so what you find is the next thing is that God sends a prophet. The prophet comes and he begins to talk to them about sin. Well, Brother Eric, what did he prophesy? Well, he didn't prophesy. A prophet doesn't always come to prophesy. In this case, he didn't look into the future and say, you know, I see a guy named Gideon, and he's kind of a failure, and God's going to use him. That didn't happen. That's how we think a prophet would do. No, he came and simply said to the nation, you are in sin. And you can go in and read, you know, verse 9, verse 10. But under the office of the prophet, as the prophet goes in and he points his finger at sin, the anointing on the prophet is bringing a change of season. And that's what you have to see here. And so many times we think that a prophet comes in, says, I saw you this morning brushing your teeth, and God's plan for you is ABC. Well, you know, sometimes that happens. But I want you to understand there's other things to the office of the prophet. And sometimes it's simply, this is sin. But because he releases what God gave him, there's an operation that comes from heaven. And in this case, an angel now is in that operation of this time and this season change. Remember, God is over times and seasons. And this is a change of season. God sends a prophet. You're in sin. Doesn't even say they repented. He just came, delivered the word of God. And the next thing that happens is an angel comes. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. This guy was screwed up. I mean, wheat goes to the threshing floor. It does not go to where the grapes go. But fear was such a strong reality over the land, it was a dark cloud. And there's a lot of nations that once knew all the light of the gospel that now they're functioning under a dark cloud because of sin. Here, Gideon, he's got the wheat. He's over in the wine press, and this is like completely crazy, right? And you're supposed to put grapes in the wine press, Gideon. Hey, let's get this straightened out. Well, the Bible's telling you that because there's a lot of people. You think, well, they're kind of strange. And the truth is, if you go back in the generations, there is a root of condemnation that brought a lack of confidence, and then they began to choose other things, and those things were like, let's take our wheat into the wine press, and you see this crookedness come into a family line, into people's lives, and then you see that generational curse begin to multiply, and then later down the line, you got strange people. Well, they're not really strange from that standpoint. You got to go back in and find out what happened that caused this thing to twist like this. Now, you know, obviously in this, we're talking about wheat and wine presses, but it's the concept. You can see it. This is where it begins. No confidence, condemnation, no righteousness, and in that, darkness begins to prevail. In fact, when you look at this, the Israelites turned to the gods of the Amorites. Well, you say gods. Well, yeah. What happened is this. All the way back at the Tower of Babel, when God decreed a judgment over the nations, their main sin is that they turned to an idol, a name. They created a name for themselves. It wasn't the God of Noah. It was their own name. They created their own religion. And God, you know, scatters them. Well, as the nations went all over the earth, here's the Amorites. They're a good example. They're living in condemnation. They're living in rebellion. And all of a sudden they realize, you know, we don't know God. And we've got a need. So let's create our own God for this need. Well, then the next year they're like, hey, you know, we got a different need. Well, what's the need this year? Well, it's this. Well, let's create a God for that need. And before you know it, they have a whole herd of gods. And the truth is, they have condemnation in them. They have a lack of righteousness, and in that, they've rebelled. So get your eyes off the idols. The idols are really nothing. It has to do with the condemning. It has to do with the rebellion that is in the hearts of the people. And it gets passed on generation to generation, and things get twisted in there. And God says, you know, only the gospel can break that out. They have to hear the gospel. And so many times we get afraid of the idols. Look at that idol. That's a bad idol. No, it's not the idol. Look at the heart of the person. No righteousness, condemnation, and the gospel is the only remedy to change the heart of man. So let's go into this. So here he is threshing wheat in the winepress. The angel of the Lord appears and says, hey, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. In the Hebrew, what he's saying is, hey, Gideon, you've got the strength of an army. Gideon, he has his wheat. He's at the wine press. You have the strength of an army. And Gideon's like, hey, wait a minute. I think you got the wrong address here. And so in verse 13, Gideon says, Lord, if you're with us, why then has all this befallen on us? Where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us of? And did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. I want to make a note here. I think Gideon, unlike his father had a grove, an idol. But I think Gideon was righteous. I think Gideon is saying, look at all the sin in the land. Where is God? And there's a lot of good people right now in our country that are looking at the wickedness seemingly flourishing in the land, And they're questioning, where is God? And that's normal. It happens to people. But you know what? God doesn't want to leave you there. He's bigger than what's happening, and you got to get your eyes on him. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? So this is a progression. The first thing he says is, hey, you've got the strength of an army. And Gideon's scratching his head going, I don't know. And then the next thing is, this is what God says, and this is the word for you and me. Go in this your might, meaning take the army, take that strength of an army, and I want you to begin to move forward in it. And he says, didn't I send you? So Gideon, here he goes again in verse 15. Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's household. So many times we want to go, hey, God, do you even know what family I'm from? Because we know our families, right? And we're like, oh, God, if you knew my family, you would never talk to me. And, you know, they're really bad and I'm worse. And God is like, I know more about your family than you do. And I'll choose who I want to choose. And, you know, God's calling you. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And the reason we're doing this is I want you to begin to rise up and step through fear. I want you to begin to challenge fear and to begin to put your foot down and to begin to move forward. The righteous are bold as a lion. I want you to see the lion beginning to rise up on the inside of you to say, you know what? I'm not moved by this anymore. That lion's been roaring at me and roaring at me. But you know what? I'm going to start roaring back because I'm righteous. I'm not in condemnation. I don't have condemnation. The law of the Spirit. What's the law of the Spirit? It's the life that's in Jesus. The life that is in Jesus, and he is life, is the actual law of the Spirit. And so we're not talking about the law of Moses here. We're talking about the law of the Spirit. You know, let me just pause here. I remember the stories of John G. Lake, and when they had the bubonic plague, and it was in Africa, people were dying like flies. It was very contagious. And he had no fear. He would actually go in and work with these patients, and even the dead bodies, moving them, whatever. And other doctors, scientists are like, you are crazy. You're going to die. What you're doing, you're not going to live long. And John G. Lake said, no, the law of the Spirit, the life in Christ Jesus, what it is driving death. It made me free. And that law is running through my veins. And this sickness has no authority. And so he put some saliva from one of the patients on his skin, and then they took a sample of it, put it under the microscope, and all of that disease had died. There wasn't a living cell because the law of the Spirit, the life that's in Jesus, was flowing out of him, and it was destroying sickness, disease, everything Jesus destroyed at the cross. What a revelation. So, Lord, look at my family. They're crazy. And the Lord says, surely I'm going to be with you. Get your eyes off your family. I'm going to be with you. And you're going to smite the Midianites like one man. You are literally going to hit them. And it's the might of the army that I'm giving you that's going to hit them. And so when you get into this story, Gideon finally goes, okay, you want to use me. So he blows the trumpet. The Spirit of God comes on him. He blows the trumpet. And thousands of people come to him. And God is saying, hey, you know, I told you you have the strength of an army. Yeah. He says, but your army's too big. Because the strength of the army is in the realm of the Spirit. It's by me. It's not going to be by you. And I want you to get rid of these guys. Well, you know the story. He had 300 men. But it was the strength of God upon him that changed everything. And I want you today, I want you to hear the words, go in this your might. I want you to go forward. I want you to begin to boldly say, you know, I'm going to challenge fear and I'm going to put my foot on it. And you're going to see that God's going to change everything for you. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that this revelation would just come so gently upon my friend and that you set them free, that you would show them how to move forward, that with the light of the word, that it would be a lamp unto their feet, and that they're going to break through whatever's holding them, and they're going to see a bright new day, that every place the sole of their foot's going to tread on, you said it's yours. And so, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.